Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Previously on this podcast, David Berlinski, author of The Devil's Delusion, now in paperback, addressed the problem of protecting minority views in science. On today's show, Dr. Berlinski discusses the abuses of power that can, and often do, occur in the scientific community and how our tax dollars fund them.
Now let's get to the money, because the publicity is supported by money. In other words, you don't get your money for your grants unless you're making some breakthrough. If you were to conclude after a big grant from the National Science Foundation that we really don't know,
we didn't get anywhere,
then they're not going to congratulate you, as Dr. Dawkins says that science in its finest traditions does. They don't say, oh, congratulations, you found that we really don't know. They're going to say, what a failure. We just spent millions of dollars of taxpayer money or some foundation money, and we didn't get a positive result.
It never happens because everyone knows better. Some guy who spent $100 million of NSF money studying the origins of life and has gone nowhere will not acknowledge in his report to the NSF, hey, I've gotten nowhere. He will say, we've made astonishing progress. We're on the verge. We're on the cusp of a breakthrough.
All we need is some more money.
A little more money, another $100 million.
What is happening? You talked about the peer review process. What is happening with federal grants? I'm talking about the NIH and the National Science Foundation. I also want to report the rumor that I hear. I think it's substantiated, that those institutions have made it clear to faculties of universities that they are not to have anybody on there that questions materialist science or particularly Darwinism.
Oh, God forbid.
I mean, how does that operate? What's going on in those organizations that are so divorced from anything that Congress has directed them to do, that they are off on this tangent?
I have to say, these organizations at this stage in scientific development are virtually autonomous. I mean, Congress can stand on its head and whistle Dixie. It won't have the slightest effect in a huge bureaucracy like the National Science Foundation. They're going to do just what they feel like doing. And they always have, except on those rare occasions where poor taxpayers rise in revolt, like the super collider in Texas, $6 billion and counting. And the taxpayers said no. But the interesting story is not that the taxpayers said no, but the scientific establishment found a way to build it somewhere else. In Lausanne. Mm-hmm. I mean, the chief contributor to that Hadron Collider in Lausanne is, of course, the United States. And instead of the United States, read United States taxpayers. So they had no vote in that, no say. And if you were to poll the United States taxpayer and ask, having defeated the superconducting super collider in Texas, were you willing to see it built at even more cost in Lausanne? The uniform reaction, are you crazy? What do I want to spend my money on that stuff for? I'm not interested in particle physics. And they're right. Why should the taxpayer be burdened with that?
Senator Proxmire in Wisconsin in days gone by used to have something called the Golden Fleece Award that he would give for examples of waste in government.
Yeah.
And I wonder if anybody's ever done this with these grants from the National Science Foundation.
Probably hush your mouth.
Probably because they all pronounce wonderful things that are just on the cusp of solution.
You know, one of the interesting and instructive educational experiences is to go to the budget of the National Science Foundation and ask, what is this money going for? Oh, a year or two ago, I looked at their mathematics budget. Well, millions of dollars being spent on mathematics. And, you know, millions of dollars spent on, what, for chalk, for blackboards? And, of course, when you query a document like the National Science Foundation budget, unless you're a budget officer in the inside, you have no idea what any of the figures really mean. I remember the New York City budget. God help us all. I was once involved in the New York City budget, and I know it's a total mystery, and it's designed to be a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's just designed to be impenetrable to outsiders. When I actually found out what the New York City budget was being spent on, I was horrified. I'm sure that if I sat down as a budget officer with the National Science Foundation, I'd be horrified, too.
What would you like to see happen in that respect?
Well, take the top mathematicians at Harvard. It's something I know. I won't mention any names. And every last one of them has a huge NSF grant. So I ask a friend of mine who's close to the mathematician, you know, an NSF grant for a top mathematician at Harvard, what is he needed for? So he doesn't have to teach. He has release time. Does that mean he doesn't get a salary? No. He gets his salary plus a handsome emolument from the National Science Foundation. He has no teaching obligation. He's free to devote himself entirely to brain work. Now, I call this an outrageous abuse of professorial privilege. Why should the taxpayer, why should the National Science Foundation be paying tenured professors at Harvard not to be tenured professors at Harvard?
Why should parents of students at Harvard pay 50 grand for the privilege of sending their kids to not be taught by somebody?
It's one of the major mysteries. It's like the Immaculate Conception. You have to accept it before you can understand it. But this is endemic. I'm not pointing to isolated examples. It goes right through the scientific establishment. Of course, there are plenty of things the National Science Foundation invests in that are legitimate research purposes. Of course that's true, but we're not talking about legitimate research. We're talking about the percentage of corruption and racketeering that goes on in the scientific establishment, which I would peg at something like 60-40, 70-30.
Is it a bootless investigation to look into this? Is
hopeless.
Somebody just
going to... Hopeless.
So then what do we do about it?
Do you remember a couple of years ago there was an extremely aggressive congressman named Dingell?
Yes, there still
Dingell,
is.
Yeah, but he had two extremely bright research aides, and he decided he would focus on scientific misconduct. What happened when he nailed David Baltimore? A very interesting question. David Baltimore was involved in some sort of scandal. To this day, the details are not clearly known. But in a test of power between a senior congressman and his bright research aides and a senior member of the scientific establishment, it was no contest at all. Baltimore rolled right over everyone. Rolled right over. What is he now? Professor? He's the head of the CIT, California Institute.
I don't know.
He never suffered a minute. And neither did the people he was protecting. Very instructive.
So well, was it question, editorials in the New York Times, Chronicles of Higher Education, and that sort of blasting Congress and Dingell in particular? What was going on?
No, it was all going on sub rosa, under the table. Power is never exerted in the New York Times. By the moment the New York Times reaches a story, it's dead. Everything is accomplished. And I watched this with great fascination, just great fascination. I mean, Dingell had the goods on these guys. It was not only Baltimore, but his graduate assistants, who seemed to have fudged their laboratory notebooks on important issues of immunology. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get anywhere. And that whole enterprise, having Congress act as an oversight mechanism with respect to the scientific community, that's dead. Just dead in the water. Nobody looks anymore. Nobody looks anymore.
Don't give up.
Me? No, I'm waiting for a call to Congress.
Next time on ID the Future, we'll hear from Dr. Berlinski about his book, The Devil's Delusion, Atheism and Its Scientific Pretensions. The Devil's Delusion is now available in paperback from Basic Books. Visit the website at www.devilsdelusion.com for more information and continuing updates from Dr. Berlinski. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.